broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this show, and we take you places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't, so they won't, and they don't, and they shan't. Anyway, welcome to our program here, and we're here weeknights. On Saturday nights, we have our KFI show. If you'd like to join us over there, you can. But right now, we have, of course, live streaming video on philhendryshow.com, so check it out. As well as the archives, as well as just any number of great things, our rants, our archived material going back some 15 years, and, of course, our classic Phil podcast as well. It's all over there at philhendryshow.com. This hour, Roger Ebert takes some heat for his tweets about Ryan Dunn. Roger Ebert. And a mom threatens a Little League official after her son didn't make a team. Plus, we'll give you yet another reason to avoid public pools. PhilHendryShow.com, the podcast, the HDTV, etc., as well as our coffee mugs. Sorry, we got that.
Get the plug in for the shop. You got to say the coffee mug.
I just said coffee mugs. Robert Leonard is with us, Bud Dickman as well. So let's talk about Roger Ebert and the Ryan Dunn tweet. Now, as you know, on this program, we've made some comments. I had a problem with Roger Ebert when he said that, he'd had his jaw removed or some portion of his, the lower portion of his face, and as a result, it created quite a startling image of Roger Ebert. And I found I had a problem with that. And the reason why I had a problem with that was that he said, I think people are just going to have to get used to the way I look. I understand that. I understand that there's a certain, I think there's a, it's a, there's a certain heroism to that stance. You know, there's a certain individual integrity to that stance. But when you're somebody who is out in the world as much as Roger Ebert, and you have the resources to surgically and medically help yourself in that sense, surgically and medically, restructure your face, then I thought he sort of almost owed it to people, rather than to say, I look like I'm sucking on lemons morning, noon, and night, and that's just the way you're going to have to deal with it, right? So, some of us, and one of them, Opie and the morning show Opie and Anthony in New York, they had some really funny stuff to say on Twitter. You know, decided, okay, if that's the way you want to look, Roger, if you want to go through life looking like you're sucking on a flavor straw morning, noon, and night, then guess what? People get to make fun of you. So Roger Ebert derided for insensitive tweets shortly after Ryan Dunn's death. Now, why the hell would you make yourself a target? He's defending himself after a controversial Twitter post about Jackass star Ryan Dunn's death. Dunn and his 30-year-old passenger Zachary Hartwell were killed in a fiery crash in Pennsylvania early Monday. Police say Dunn's Porsche careened off the road, flipped over a guardrail, and burst into flames in a wooded area. Shortly after news of Dunn's death began to circulate, Ebert tweeted, "Friends don't let jackasses drink and drive." Now, here's why that comment was not the most well thought out. If you agree, and if you're a Roger Ebert, you got to know this. If you agree that there are certain personalities that are important to certain generations, then you would know that you're going to be offending the sensibilities of certain people in certain generations. For instance, Princess Diana, like last night when we had on R.C. Collins, and he's going on about how Ryan Dunn dying was as bad as Princess Diana, right?
Yeah, he thought that was really significant.
Right. Well, that was a perfect way of saying, you know, regardless of what you think about Ryan Dunn, regardless of what you think about Jackass, there's some people that liked the guy and felt a great sadness with his passing. He was, after all, a sort of modern comic. I don't know what kind of comic you'd call it. I think a lady last night brought up the Three Stooges. Shortly before the crash, Dunn reportedly posted pictures of himself and friends drinking at an area bar. Dunn and his passenger died from the impact of the violent car crash and the resulting fire, according to a coroner's report. Toxicology results will take 4 to 6 weeks. Ebert's post prompted angry responses from Jackass fans, and celebrity blogger Perez Hilton voiced his concern at the timing of the tweet. And what we're talking about, I'll give you a better example.
I was thinking about Heath Ledger.
That's a good example. Heath Ledger and who was the guy?
John Gibson.
John Gibson. John Gibson lost his job when he was on and he was talking about Heath Ledger, and I forget what it was that he said, but it was something kind of insensitive. I don't know if Jason remembers or not, but John Gibson on Fox Radio said that, what's the big deal with Heath Ledger? Some drug addict, something like that.
Yeah.
All right. He may be a drug addict. And Ryan Dunn may be something else. And Princess Diana may be something else. And John Wayne, who we brought up on the show last night, he might be something else too. But all of those people that I just mentioned have significance to different generations. John Wayne was big to an older generation. If I said to you, as we said last night, John Wayne died in a diaper, and people are big fans of John Wayne, they'd be pissed off.
Yeah, well, you did say that.
I didn't say that. The guest said that. R.C. Collins said that.
Well,
R.C. Collins said that John Wayne, and in so saying that, he showed that he was completely insensitive to a generation of people while he was asking for sensitivity for himself. Completely insensitive. Did you like John Wayne? Did you think that John Wayne was a smart man for smoking cigarettes as much as he did to the point where he had lung cancer? Do you think John Wayne had a drinking problem? What kind of guy did you think John Wayne was? Well, you can have all kinds of opinions, but be sensitive when a guy like John Wayne dies to the feelings of people who really admired the guy, liked his movies, and were really sad that he died. That's all. It's called common freaking courtesy.
What about Hitler? There are a lot of people like that.
Hitler's a different story. Why would you bring up Hitler, man?
Well, yeah, but he's right.
Hitler's a different story. Hitler was that's not just a guy passing on. Hitler wasn't just some guy who died and, oh, you know, isn't that terrible? Some people are really feeling bad about Hitler going. Hitler was the cause of a world war. People couldn't wait for that guy to die. People were actively trying to kill that guy. Hitler.
Yeah, but there's still sensitivities.
What do you mean sensitivities?
What about the people that, if Hitler died, it'd be some people said, today Hitler died, and we want to make an announcement about Hitler died. And people are, wow, that's a drag.
Who's going to say, wow, that's a drag?
There's some Nazis in a prisoner of war camp and go, wow, I didn't know that Hitler died and everything.
Well, you ain't going to be sensitive to that, man. It's a whole different story. Boy, every time we get into a discussion, here comes Hitler.
Yeah, thank goodness, too, because Hitler will clear up a lot of problems.
Hitler will clear up a lot of problems. All that bringing that guy up, all that does is confuse the issue. Hitler was he was a guy that everybody and his brother wanted dead, other than the Nazis sitting in the cage that Bud was talking about. And the cause of a world war, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about just these benign personalities, entertainment personalities, most of them.
Not Princess Diana.
Princess Diana, yeah, Princess Diana.
How do you call her entertainment?
Because I think she was.
No, she wasn't. She was the royalty and everything.
What do you think royalty is, man, but entertainment? That's all it is. Yes, I know they're the symbol of the country. I have great appreciation for that. Yada, yada, yada.
I got the thing here on John Gibson, won't see?
Yeah, let me see. All right, this is what got John Gibson fired. He called Ledger a weirdo with a drug problem, then made a I can't quit you, broke back mountain joke, then saying he killed himself after witnessing a bad John Edwards debate performance in the week's previous debate. All of those things validly funny in a different context, maybe a different time or place, but not the day after the guy died. To John Gibson, the death of Heath Ledger didn't mean anything because he could care about Heath Ledger. He also said, I can't quit you. Well, I found out how to quit you. Yikes.
I don't get it.
Dying?
Died.
Oh.
So to John Gibson, Heath Ledger doesn't mean diddly squat. So he makes a joke. And maybe in John Gibson's circle of friends, that's cool. But the day after the guy died, there's a whole bunch of fans, they got really pissed off. And they called in, and they said Gibson's a jackass. I don't know if he got fired, but he definitely got taken to task for it, okay? And so it goes, man. And you can have the death of Princess Diana. People made jokes about that. Then everybody got on their case. Why? Timing. The timing of it. A lot of people were bummed out about Princess Diana. I remember after Elvis Presley died, I'll never forget, I made the mistake of making a joke about it to some redneck. This guy was probably about 10 years older than me. So at the time that Elvis Presley died, let me see. God, how old was that man? He was 41. So I was like 20, I don't know, 26.
Yeah.
And I made some joke about Elvis dying, and this dude just looked like freaking right through me, man. Like he was going to, you know, kill me or something. So he died in 77. So I was 25 years old. I'm making this joke, and the guy's all like, you know, man, you don't do that. So that's the way it is. And now comes Ryan Dunn. What do you think of Ryan Dunn? Some people like him. Some people don't. Some people think he's an idiot. But you got to understand, especially if you're a Roger Ebert, a guy that works in the media and a guy that should be media savvy enough to the feelings, the feedback that he gets from people, that if you make a joke about someone who is beloved or has a big fan base, you're going to get a lot of heat, man. And if he doesn't want to back off of this, he doesn't have to. It may not even cost him his job, and I don't think it should cost him his job, but from now on, he's going to be an ass to a lot of people.
It's going to be an ass jacket.
An ass jacket. There you go. Roger Ebert. He was unapologetic when he attempted to clarify the comments, tweeting, Perez Hilton's readers agree with me and not with Perez about my tweet on Ryan Dunn. He drank, he drove, two people die. Fellow Jackass star Bam Margera took to Twitter and posted a profanity-laced message to Ebert. I just lost my best friend. I've been crying hysterical for a full day, and a piece of S. Roger Ebert has the gall to put in his 2 cents. About a jackass drunk driving and Dunn is one. F you. Millions of people are crying right now. Shut your F, your fat effing mouth. On Tuesday, the film critic responded in a blog post saying, I offer my sympathy to Ryan Dunn's family and friends and to those of Zachary Hartwell, who also died in the crash. I mean that sincerely. It is tragic to lose a loved one. I also regret that my tweet about the event was considered cruel. It was not intended as cruel. It was intended as true. Ebert says he only used the word jackasses in his tweet because of Dunn's association with Jackass. Ebert says his Facebook page was deleted because of the fallout. He tweeted, Facebook is removed by page in response, apparently, to malicious complaints over one or two jerks. His page has since been reinstated. Ebert, who lost his voice and lower jaw to cancer, says he was probably too quick to tweet when he posted his initial message. There you go. But he says the outcome could have been even worse. I do know that nobody has any business driving on a public highway at 110 miles an hour, as some estimated, or fast enough. You know, we get it, man. You know, but there's other ways of saying it.
Like what, man? I mean, that, you know, how could he have said that different?
He could have said, you know, this is a tragedy that that young man died. It's a tragedy that such a talented young guy or a funny guy or just a lover of life, just a crazy ass, had to be crazy enough to be driving 110 miles an hour, man. I wish you wouldn't have gone that fast. Look at what happens when you go fast. There's a lot of ways of saying it, and you don't come off sounding like a slob. All right, coming back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, a mom threatens a Little League official and his family, after her son didn't make a team. PhilHenryShow.com as well for our live streaming video, as well as our archives. We'll be right back.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. For Patriots, by Patriots, it's the Phil Henry Show.
Well, you like Ryan Dunn, right?
Yeah.
All right, so you understand what I'm saying.
Well, I believe in freedom of speech.
Of course we believe in freedom of speech, bud. I'm not saying that Roger Ebert should get fired.
Well, what would you, if you were his boss, would you fire him?
Roger Ebert? Hell no, man. The guy's got all kinds of... The guy's got currency. He's been around a long time. He's known. The name is known. You know? I mean, you know, you don't fire a guy like that. He's probably bringing a lot of money into that newspaper. He probably still brings a lot of money in for the people who you know, have him in their newspaper. No. No, I wouldn't fire him for that. But I would say to him, hey, pal, see what you get for opening your... if you'll pardon the expression, for opening your plastic mouth.
Only the lower part's plastic. The upper part's real.
What is...
His jaw, man. He's got like a fake jaw he installs.
How often does he put it in?
I don't know. He has a fake jaw. Anyway, I thought it was very funny, some of the tweets I saw today about Roger Ebert hates flavor straws. Now then.
That's pretty funny.
Thank you, bud. New York Little League mother arrested for alleged threats because son sucks at baseball. Dateline East Meadows, New York, from ABC News. Keeping kids busy in the summer is paramount for many parents. Although not enough to land most of them in jail. But that's where Janet Chazui, is that her name?
Chazazu.
Chazazu, 44, and a PTA mom found herself after allegedly threatening a Little League official when her son didn't make the summer travel team in East Meadow, New York. This is a tragic situation and horrible for the community, said Stu McKay, one of the presidents of the East Meadow Little League on Long Island. When you deal with children and parents running things, it gets dicey. Her name is Chuzi, Sir Chazu. Here's her attorney, Janet Chazu's attorney, Peter Von Giorno. He says he is shocked, he says. Chiuzi. Oh, Chiuzi. Thanks very much, Jace. Chiuzi. Here is Peter Von Gino. I'm just kidding. Peter Von Giorno says he's shocked at these allegations.
She's a PTA mom. Dad's been involved in coaching and volunteering for many years in a variety of different capacities. And so the allegations are shocking, to say the least.
Okay. In any event, Nassau County Police allege that an unidentified league official and his son received threatening letters from Chiuzi on May 21st after her son did not make the team. In the letters, according to the allegations, Chiuzi also threatened violence against the official's wife and daughter.
That's what, he took the mafia or something?
I don't know. It's pretty slob-like a behavior.
I think it's not like an Italian thing.
What do you mean an Italian thing?
I think that's they all, you know...
Yeah, I'm going to put, you know, like, the evil eye on you and a curse to you and stuff like that.
Oh, get out of here. Anyway, in the letters, according to the allegations, Chiuzi also threatened violence against the guy's wife and daughter. In one letter written to the official's young son, Chiuzi wrote, "If something happens to your dad or mom or your sister, you can blame your dad for not taking these threats seriously." Wow! In another letter written directly to the Little League official, "I know where your wife works, I know where your daughter goes to school, and your son's normal everyday routine. Just tell your wife and kids to watch themselves, especially at night. I don't care what it takes, I'm going to make your life and your family's life a living hell. These are not just words and empty threats," she allegedly wrote. What mental institution is close enough to the house whereby they could put her in a soft room and still get visitors, you know, on a weekend?
I don't know, man, but sound like probably put her in some kind of a mental institution. She sounded crazy.
Less than 2 weeks later, police said the principal of the children's school received letters from Chiuzi claiming that the Little League official had molested his children. What is wrong with some people? The Nassau County Child Protective Services investigated the accusation, found them to be groundless. Chiuzi didn't stop there. Authorities said she allegedly sent six more letters to the Little League attempting to defame the victim and force his removal as an official. Chiuzi was finally arrested Saturday night. When did this take place, all of this stuff? May 21st. So that's only a little over a month, I guess.
Too long, man, if you ask me.
She has been charged with four counts of stalking, two counts of falsely reporting an incident, two counts of endangering the welfare of a child, and four counts of aggravated harassment. Chiuzi was arraigned Sunday and later released from jail on a $6,000 bail. According to the Nassau County Correctional Center, she could not be reached for comment. Vinny Cafiso, who was on the Little League board for 7 years before pulling out when his son no longer wanted to play, said, "It used to be a great program, but the executive board is trying to run it as a business instead of a volunteer program. It's about personal satisfaction and power. There are kids that have been on the travel team forever and aren't anymore because a bunch of new kids are on the team. It has nothing to do with the kids. It's more about the parents." I don't know what that's supposed to mean. Doesn't sound like it means anything. Chiuzi is expected to appear in court on Wednesday. Well, I don't know. I just don't know what it is. I just, you know, kids are not worth it, man. It's not worth having kids, you know.
Well, if you're going to act like that.
If you're going to behave like that, there's no point in you having children. There was no reason in the first place for you to have children. You have no control over yourself. You obviously don't have any kind of intention to treat the child well. It's just, it's... See, children, family, it's all the same thing. It's a unit that you form to protect yourself, to ensure security. Yes, you fall in love, I get it about that, but the origination of the family is for another layer of protection. And some people take that quite literally. I mean, they pretend like their family is the last bastion of freedom in the world, and all the outsiders are bad. Everybody out there is bad, and our family's good. And that's how they act, and some of them take it to the nth degree. All right, well, we can only hope, ladies and gentlemen, that woman is thrown into a dungeon where she rots. All right.
Great, Mr. Henry.
Thank you. All right, coming back, we'll give you yet another reason to avoid public pools, plus even the Amish are sexting perverts. The Phil Henry Show, that's philhenryshow.com for our HDTV, our podcasts, and, of course, the Phil Henry Shop for a T-shirt, our shot glass, and our great best of CDs. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. For patriots, by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show.
This is very interesting, and welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Research shows most kids don't shower before using pools.
Boy, I love you in a public pool as a kid.
I liked the public pool when I was a kid, too. But you understand, bud, that when we were kids, well, let's go ahead and say it. You peed in the pool, right?
Yeah.
Robert?
Well, I think if you're a child, you're expected to pee in the pool.
I did. And, of course, I enjoyed it no end.
What, peeing in a pool?
No, swimming in the public pool. I mean, I grew up in Arcadia, California, and we had a huge public pool in the summertime. And it was right there at Arcadia Park. And it was where every kid in town went in the summer. And but, of course, as an adult, were I to go back to that pool, I wouldn't go in it with your bathing suit on, bud. There's not a chance on God's earth.
I would. I just to refresh my memories of the great days of yore.
You would... No, I'm saying, knowing that kids are peeing in it?
Well, you gotta just take it with a grain of salt.
What are you talking about, man?
You go into a public pool knowing a kid pee in it.
Yeah, but it's not gonna bother me because the memories would refresh me.
Get out of here. Most people shower after a day at the pool, but do you know anyone who's adamant about showering before going in the water? A public pool, it might be a good idea. Many parents don't understand the risk of water infection from public pools. Public fools. We already have the public fools. They're the ones that voted the money for the public pool. Anyway, the water infections from public pools and public and water parks. And few realize a pre-swim shower can largely prevent these illnesses. Recreational water illness, RWI, which are spread by swallowing, breathing in, or contacting contaminated water in some way, affect more than 10,000 Americans each year. Oh, God, that's right, man.
Yeah, is there, think about it. You ever take a big swallow of water?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's nasty as hell, man. Nasty as hell, dude. Public pools and water parks play a major role in spreading these recreational water illnesses. But few parents have their kids take the necessary preventive step, showering before you put your filthy little body in there. According to the University of Michigan's C.S. Mott Children's Hospital, national polling, well, you know, it is kind of a, well, I think they should, but I can see how people, they don't do it.
Why?
Because they probably are thinking, what am I going to do? Have your kids shower. What? My child is very, parents are like that.
What do you mean?
Oh, they're going to get upset that, what are you intimating that my child is befouled of some illness? No, he doesn't need a shower. Just like my child doesn't have to have a shot. I won't give my child a whooping cough shot. I won't give my child this. I won't give my child that. He won't put, thank you very much. Put your dirty, nasty kid in the water and everybody is blind from it.
Not going to go blind.
Whatever it is, man. Some creeping crud, some crawling rash. Oh, man. The poll asked 865 parents with children ages 5 to 12 and asked them questions regarding their opinions about water park risks and basic water park rules. When asked about whose responsibility it is to prevent infections, 28% of parents indicated it's the sole responsibility of the water park staff. Furthermore, most parents chose to ignore parks' requests for hygienic pre-swim showers. Most parents chose to ignore!
Boy, you're right about that.
I'm telling you! I know people. If you say to a parent, we'd like your kid to shower because your kid may have some nasty-ass freaking disease on his skin that he's going to put in the water and give to other kids, the parent's going to be offended by that, and they will not have their kid shower. not all parents, but there's a significant number of parents. There's just enough parents out there that are a pain in the ass to cause a problem in any walk of life, in having to do with anything. When asked about whose responsibility it is to prevent infections, 28% of parents indicated it's the sole responsibility of the water park staff. Furthermore, most parents chose to ignore parks' requests for hygienic pre-swim showers. Showering before a swim isn't just about curbing germs. A 2010 study by the University of Illinois researchers found that when swimmers' nitrogen-rich consumer products, such as cosmetics and sunscreens, mixed with pool disinfectants, the products become chemically modified and converted into toxic agents.
Ah! What's going to happen?
Who knows? Did you ever see Toxic Avenger?
Yeah, I did.
You're kidding me.
Oh, quit getting scared. You go into the water, though, and you'll come out looking like Toxic Avenger.
No way!
Way, man. I'm telling you.
Bullcrap.
You're kidding around, man. Don't you know?
Are you kidding?
Well, what do you think? Although I'm telling you, I mean, what do you think they're saying here? They're saying that if you go into the pool and you've got on certain sunscreens or certain consumer products and it mixes with the chemicals in the pool, they turn into toxic agents and you come out of the water just looking just like that guy in RoboCop 2 who drove the van into that. Remember when we saw that movie?
Oh, that guy was all, he melted.
That guy melted, exactly. You come out with a melted head.
Yeah, remember that guy's head was all melted.
Well, are you seeing that's going to happen to me?
One can only hope, bud.
Shut up!
Oh, come on, will ya? Long-term exposure to toxic disinfection byproducts may be able to mutate genes, induce birth defects, accelerate the aging process, cause respiratory ailments, and even induce cancer! While 64% of parents feel it's very important for children to not swallow the water at a water park, only 26% of parents think it is very important to shower before getting into the water. What happens over there at, I forget, at Hurricane Harbor?
I don't think you have to shower.
No.
We used to go to Hurricane Harbor all the time. I loved it, but I don't remember having to take a shower. And, of course, naturally I didn't because I don't need a shower. I'm very clean. Everybody else is filthy.
Exactly.
It's true that water parks should make sure that their water has been correctly disinfected, but disinfection can only go so far, the researchers say. Although chlorine kills most of the germs that cause RWIs within an hour, a parasite called Cryptoporidiaceus that causes abdominal cramping, diarrhea, and nausea can survive for days even if properly disinfected water. You got to get your act together, man. The best way to prevent the spread of RWIs like this parasite we were talking about is to prevent the parasite from entering the public pool in the first place. That means taking a shower so that your nasty, greasy, stinky body doesn't foul stuff up.
Man, I'm clean. I change my drawers every day.
We're talking about taking a shower, man. Different from changing your drawers every day. You gotta take a shower. You gotta clean up.
What about when you leave the house, then you go?
When you get there, they want you to take a shower. Don't take it personal, Mom and Dad, right? You know, don't think that because they asked your kid to take a shower, that means that you live in, that you use cow manure for soap, and that you live in a septic tank. Well, they're simply saying, for the safety of everybody just get in the water and take a shower. Anyway, the researchers recommend that parents make sure their children wash thoroughly with soap and water before swimming. Parents should also take the kids on bathroom breaks and frequently conduct diaper checks to prevent their children...
I peed in the pool, man!
Unfortunately, this problem isn't limited to children. 1 in 5 adults pee in swimming pools. 1 in 5 so-called adults. How about that? According to a 2009 survey conducted by the Water Quality and Health Council. That pretty much puts the kibosh on it for me, man.
About going to a public pool?
That pretty much does it for me. I ain't going in there. No way, no way, no way, Jack. All right, speaking of nasty and foul, an Amish man, thank you. No, I'm kidding.
Amish man?
Oh, hold on. An Amish man who sent hundreds of sexually charged text messages to a 12-year-old girl was arrested last week when he drove a horse and buggy into a restaurant. He wasn't arrested for sexting the girl, but the horse and buggy went... No, I'm kidding. He was arrested when he drove a horse and buggy to an Indiana restaurant where he had arranged a rendezvous with the child.
Well, that's sexy.
But this has not got nothing to do with being sexy, okay? Nabbed in an undercover sting, Willard Yoder, age 21, is facing 4 felony counts for allegedly soliciting sex from the minor. Yoder is free on a $20,000 bond. So this is very weird. So,
well, I mean, it's not any weirder than any regular guy.
Well, that's true. It's not any weirder than any regular 21-year-old soliciting sex from a 12-year-old. But what makes it very weird is this cat pulling up in a horse and buggy. I
what do you mean?
Are you hearing what I'm talking about? It's a freaking Amish guy.
Oh, you're definitely going to the ones who wear the bonnets?
Yeah, the women wear the bonnets.
Was the girl supposed to?
What girl?
The girl he was sexting.
Yeah, maybe he gets hot when they wear the bonnet.
Maybe he gets hot if they wear a bonnet. No, man, this guy's 21 and she's 12. In one text, Yoder told the girl...
What's his name, Yoder?
Bud, I'm going to start...
Sorry.
In one text, Yoder told the girl that the proposed sex act would happen in the buggy. Okay, great.
Probably the Amish rule.
I'm sure that it is the Amish rules to molest kids in buggies only. Yoder's contact with a girl began with a random text sent to her phone. When the child's parents learned of their daughter's... Her phone? I thought the Amish people...
No, she ain't Amish, man.
Oh, okay. Well, how did he get it? I guess he got a hold of a phone. Anyway, when the child's parents learned of their daughter's contact with Willard Yoder, they said, well, Willard Yoder, we know him. He's the pervert Amish guy.
Yeah, he's a guy on a horse and buggy, and the horse is always aroused. And anyway, can you get out of here?
Probably what's going on in the buggy.
Yeah.
All right, so anyway, in one text, Yoder told the girl that the proposed sex act would indeed happen in...
The proposed sex act will happen in my buggy.
Yoder's contact with the girl began with a random text sent to her phone. Now, that's kind of whack. What is that about, you know?
The guy's a pervert, man. He's going to send it to any kid.
When the child's parents learned... Can Amish people have phones?
I guess they do.
When the child's parents learned of their daughter's contact with Yoder, they seized control of the phone and continued... they continued communicating with Yoder, who sent about 600 texts as well as nude photos and explicit videos to the girl.
Probably had to keep his hat on, though, for the nude photo.
Shut up and quit making jokes about this. This is about a kid being molested. Do you understand? Had to keep his hat on for the picture.
Maybe that's a religious thing.
The parents then contacted the police, and officers took over the sting operation. So he goes, this guy Yoder, boy, what a yokel. Yoder the yokel, man. He starts texting this girl. Well, rapidly, the parents take over. Next thing you know, within 14 texts, he's got the FBI, the CIA, and Russian intelligence. And meanwhile, he's there nude in a hat, raising a barn.
It's very embarrassing it winds up like that, but I don't think it went that far.
Obviously, I'm joking around, but the point that I'm making here is the cops took it over in very short order. After arranging the Wednesday night meeting, cops staking out the take-home restaurant reported seeing the outline of a carriage-type buggy pulled by one horse and what appeared to be one occupant.
Oh, God.
Investigators noted that Yoder... was wearing his hat, but some disco pants and boots. I'm kidding. I'm kidding, okay? No. Investigators noted that Yoder, who was busted outside the take-home eatery, was cooperative and walked his horse and buggy around the building and tied it to a post outside.
But probably there's a feed bin there, too.
Yeah, well, we must have that. During questioning, cops reported Yoder admitted contacting the girl's cell phone by chance and advised that he thought he was going to have sex with a girl... whom he thought was 13, and I don't know if that's legal in Amish town. Anyway, Yoder was, he also noted that he realized it was a bad decision and had never done anything like this before.
Well, that's one Amish guy, man, gonna be in trouble.
What do you think they'll do to him in Amish town?
I don't know, Bud, what they'll do to him in Amish town. All I know is that this cat's in big, big trouble. He's gonna be a sex offender, that's number one, depending upon the laws. Whether he'll do jail time or pay a fine, I don't know. There was no contact made with this girl. There was no physical contact made with the girl. There was the text messaging and the attempted contact. So he's going to have to register as a sex offender. Okay.
Yeah, but how many sex offenders they got in the Amish? Like, if you look at Amish town, how many they got?
What do you mean Amish town, man? Are you talking about where he lives?
Yeah.
I don't know.
He'd probably be the only one.
All right, well, then good for him. He's the only one. Anyway, so he'll probably have to register as a sex offender, and no doubt there's a heavyweight probation situation going on here. Whether he does jail time, I doubt it. But he will have a serious-ass probationary period. he will be a sex offender. I mean, this guy's, his actions, his physical actions will be controlled for the rest of his life because of this. So let that be a lesson. All right.
I'm not going to do it.
All right. But I'm just, even the Amish, you know, get stung. All right. The world famous Phil Henry Show will be coming back. A hostage taker updated his Facebook page throughout the standoff. And now some of his Facebook friends may also face charges because these losers were helping him. We'll tell you more of the story when we come back here on the world famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. For patriots, by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show.
Did you know that?
Oh, will you stop being a jackass? Welcome back. And I say jackass with all due respect. We're not talking about jackass here. We're talking about Bud Dickman here. What do you want to know?
Because if Chris Hansen put it, did it.
You figured to do that, wouldn't he?
Chris Hansen's going to put on a fake beard and an Amish hat and do a sting?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Chris Hansen from To Catch a Predator puts on the fake beard and the bonnet, and he comes out with a horse and buggy.
Yeah, then he stings him.
Comes out and says, I'm Jedediah Hansen from...
Yeah, man, and say, hey, how you doing?
Damn it, that Amish guy, he'd pee his pants.
Yeah, great, bud. So glad that you know how to talk good, or gooder. All right, 877-876-PHIL. Here's a whack story about Facebook. You know, Facebook is, there's not a war going on, but there is a definite, there is a exodus happening from Facebook, and I'll tell you what it's all about. Facebook is considered, there is a Twitter, Facebook, it's not a war, but the two are two completely distinct classes now. There are people like myself and Mr. Rance and others, we can coexist in both worlds, Facebook and Twitter. We're cool, we get it, we don't walk around thinking we're better than anybody else. But I've been reading people over on Twitter saying Facebook is for morons and all this stuff. And I wouldn't agree 100% with that, but...
Do you agree with a little bit of it?
No, I don't. No, I don't. Where's this guy's picture, by the way, Jace? Have you got a URL for this Wilmer Yoder? As long as we were talking about him? In any event... Jason Valdez is no stranger to Utah police. His latest brush with the law, however, may have been his most public brush with the law. And an armed Valdez held a woman hostage at a motel in a 10-16-hour overnight standoff with SWAT teams, all while finding time to keep his family and friends updated on Facebook!
Really?
Yes, really. On Facebook. He even got some help from outside friends over the social network. A friend posted that a SWAT officer was hiding in the bushes. Thank you, homie. Good looking out. When officers swarmed the room, Valdez shot himself in the chest with a handgun. He's in critical condition. The Associated Press reviewed Valdez's Facebook profile page on Tuesday. Police believe he wrote the messages during the standoff. In all, Valdez made 6 posts and added at least a dozen new friends. His family and friends responded with 100 comments. Some people offered words of support. Others pleaded for him to do the right thing. So he did. He shot himself.
What? You don't think that's the right thing?
Maybe I'm kidding. Court records show Valdez has a criminal history, including convictions for aggravated assault and domestic violence in front of a child. That's great, man. Good of you people to warn him, homie. Scumbag. In March, prosecutors filed felony and misdemeanor drug possession charges against Valdez. A judge issued a warrant for Valdez's arrest after he missed a June 1 preliminary hearing in the case. On Friday afternoon, Ogden police tried to serve Valdez with a felony drug warrant. For the missed court appearance, he barricaded himself inside the Western Colony Inn there. I'm currently in a standoff. Kind of ugly, but ready for whatever, he writes on his Facebook page. Valdez wrote this at 11:23. I love you guys, and if I don't make it out of here alive, then I'm in a better place, and you are all great friends. Wow, that's pretty heavy.
Why do I got to think you're going to be in a better place?
I don't know. Some kind of weird-ass religion. Some funky-ass religion that this cat has got, man. Valdez said this in a post that he was with a woman named Veronica. Police described her as a hostage. In his post, Valdez told friends when police shut off the power that his hostage was fine and with him willingly, and that police are jeopardizing her life by their actions. Valdez posted two pictures of himself and the woman. Got a cute hostage, huh? Valdez wrote of the photographs. At 3:48, one of Valdez's friends posted that police had a gunner in the bushes. Stay low. Valdez thanked him in a reply. The final post, 7:25 a.m. on Saturday. Well, I was letting this girl go, but these dumb bastards made an attempt to come in after I told them not to, so I popped off a couple of more shots, and now we're starting all over again. Oh, so she wasn't a hostage. She was a hostage. She wasn't a hostage, but then she was a hostage because you were going to let the girl go. SWAT officers stormed Valdez's room, and he shot himself in the chest, not the head, and so he's still alive. God, not even smart enough to pop himself in the head. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Jason Rantz. Technical director is Dan Northcraft, and our associate producers, Fred Scotty and Chris Johnson. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is also online at Phil Hendry Show, sometimes, philhendryshow.com. Hendry.